Well, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you that your will is going to be done in this service, Lord, and that we will take your word and apply it to our lives, Lord God, that we are hungry and thirsty to be what you want us to be, Lord. And the things of this world are strangely dim compared to your glory and your majesty, and you are all we want. And we love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. So I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the children of Israel. There's a lot that we can learn from these guys. And this should be familiar to every single person in here. Maybe you've forgotten about it. Maybe you have no idea what I'm talking about. So I'll give us a brief recap on the Israelite people. So the children of Israel were in captivity for a very long time in the land of Egypt. God heard their cry. God kept his promise. And God sent Moses to set those people free. God used Moses in a mighty way. Amazing things were done through God. God single-handedly, one by one, attacked all the fake demonic gods of Egypt. And the children of Israel are set free. They crossed the Red Sea. And in a short amount of time, relatively a short amount of time, now they are face to face with the border of the promised land, this land that was promised to them through the father Abraham, through their father Abraham. This is something that God had promised. And here they are face to face with crossing over the Jordan River and taking this land that God had promised them. And so Moses sends out 12 spies, one from one individual from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. 10 come back with this report. Basically, the land is everything we ever could imagine. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's got everything we would ever need. The fruit is amazing. It's very fertile. It's all we would ever need. But there's giants in the land. But the cities are fortified, and the inhabitants of the city are very strong people. And so 10 of the people really had a horrible report. And 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, had a positive report. They were like, no, we can go take this land right now. These guys are easy pickings for us. And Joshua and Caleb, the guys that had the good report, their memory wasn't so short. I'll just say it that way. They were able to look back and see how God had provided for them and got them out of Egypt and through the Red Sea, how he provided for them thus far in the wilderness. So when God said, this is your land, Joshua and Caleb was like, yeah, man, this is a new thing. This is a new trial, but this is nothing compared to the Lord our God. This is nothing compared to the God that we serve. Now, when Joshua and Caleb gave this good report, the 10 other spies gave a horrible report. Well, the congregation or the group of the Israelites, not Moses, not Aaron, but the huge mass of the Israelite people decided that they wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb, man. And they begin to murmur and complain, and fear transferred from the 10 spies to all this group of Israelite people. And so that's what we're talking about today. We're focusing on worry, we're focusing on fear. And Lord, don't we have plenty of opportunities to be fearful in this day and age? And some of us are going through, you know, the hardest times of our life right now, or we're going through a time that we've never experienced something like this before. Well, God's truth is still the same. He's still going to be with us, and he's still going to get us through this. So I want to start right here at Numbers 13. I'm already tangled up in this. Numbers 13 and verse 28. Follow along on the monitor, your bulletin. I'm going to try and move kind of fast so you don't have to turn in your Bibles. We should have that, all that covered for you. Take notes if you want to or if you can. Numbers 13 and verse 28. Fear is anti-faith. Fear is the opposite of trusting in God. That's how I see it. Numbers 13, 28. However, the people who dwell in the land, this is the report from the 10 spies, not Joshua and Caleb, but the other 10 cats. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. It's like, it's everything we ever need, but we can't take it. It's impossible. There's giants there. There's the cities are too big. They were saying God's not big enough. Basically, that's what they were saying. God's not big enough to handle this. Yeah, he took care of all that stuff in Egypt. He took care of the Red Sea, the pillar of fire, the cloud, all this stuff, man, the manna. But this thing right here, he can't really handle this. That's basically what they're saying. And it's, you know, look back. Look back at all the amazing things that God did for these people. It's like, oh my gosh, in our minds, we're like, my goodness gracious, they're about to miss out on this huge blessing because they're not trusting in God, because all of a sudden they're facing something they've never faced before. Well, before we get too negative on these guys, I know that I've done the same thing. I know that I've done it plenty of times where God, I look back and I see where God has been faithful. When I was faithless, he was faithful. When I was rebellious, he was merciful. He was gracious to me when I didn't deserve it, when I don't deserve it. And then here comes the new problem of the month or something that I'm not quite familiar with. And we can start pulling out of here and getting frustrated and turning into a nutcase. Look at your neighbor and say, we can turn into a nutcase. It's completely possible. Can I get a witness? So fear is anti-faith. Fear is saying God is not big enough. Fear is saying God doesn't care enough. If he's big enough, well, maybe he just doesn't care about me. Our fear is saying God doesn't love me enough. God doesn't love me like he loves the other people sitting across from me in church. And that's Dr. David Jeremiah brought that to my attention a couple few weeks ago. I listened to him quite often. He's one of my favorites, man. And so he was going over this stuff. But I'm going to tell you something right here. I was going to get in this stuff before I knew David Jeremiah was going to get into the stuff. So if any of you guys listen to him on a regular basis, and you're like, oh, yeah, I see what he's doing, taking these. No, nope. Me and David Jeremiah, we're just on the same path here. But anyway, I was listening to Dr. David Jeremiah, you know, the guy, the preacher man, you know, and he says, fear is the opposite of love. And so I stopped in my tracks. You know, I was like doing some chores or something. I was like, what? Hit my little earbud thing. What? And that's what he said. Fear is the opposite of love. Well, I've never looked at it that way. I've always said fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of trusting in God. Fear is saying that God's not big enough for your problem. And all that's true, but I begin to listen to what the man was saying. And I'm going to try and explain it to you in my easy way of explaining stuff. The way that I understand stuff. So fear is the opposite of love. Let's read this verse right here. 1 John 4:18. I hope this will help us out. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. But think about that. If I know that God loves me, and that's the problem. Sometimes we're like, oh, God, he doesn't love me as much as he loves other. That's ridiculous. Then we need to get back into the Word of God, stand on His promises. But listen, God loves you, okay? So if I understand that God loves me so much that even though I'm going through this trial, this storm, this situation that I've never really faced before, it's a new thing. I've never had to walk down this road, and I feel like I'm walking down this road all alone or whatever. Listen, you are loved. You are loved. And if we can grab a hold of the fact that God loves me, He loves me. That's bigger than any problem I'm going to face. Whatever, I don't have to be fearful about my problem because I understand the God that I serve is my Heavenly Father and He loves me. He loves me. So He's allowed me to go through this situation, but I'm not going through it alone. He's allowed me to go through this situation and He cares about what I'm going through and He's going to get me through this situation. So I really dig that and I've been thinking about that a lot. Fear is the opposite of love. Fear is really the opposite. If I remember I'm loved by God, that should really squelch my fear in whatever I'm facing. That should really squelch the fear of whatever I'm facing. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord some praise, seriously. That was like a big thing for me, you know, that, yeah, man, this is kind of scary, but my Heavenly Father's with me. You know, this is kind of weird, but my Heavenly Father's with me. And He loves me. He is completely faithful to me. He is going to walk me through this. Matter of fact, He's going to go ahead of me into this. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. They saw the giants. So fear is opposite of faith. But let's look at it like this also. Fear is contagious, man. Fear is totally contagious. You guys know what I'm talking about? If you have a sphere of influence with anybody, you know, that your fear, if you don't rebuke that nonsense and run away from it or keep it in check, that is contagious. It is going to spread to those people you care about. It's going to spread to those people around you. And that's the exact opposite of what we want. Fathers, mothers, aunts, uncles, we don't want to breathe this nonsense on our loved ones and have them fearful about something when we should honestly know in our heart, God's got this. God's going to get us through this. I don't know when it's going to work out. I don't even really know how it's going to work out, but God's going to make this work out the best possible way, the way he needs it to work out, whatever it is. Can I get a witness? Fear is contagious. Look at Deuteronomy 1:28. So the 10 spies give this horrible report. Okay. The two other spies are about to, Caleb tries to quiet the crowd. He does quiet the crowd, but they don't want to listen to what he has to say because fear is so contagious, and Satan is always there to agree with that fearful person, wants to push you into a deep, dark place of fear. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 28. Where are we going up? Our brothers have made our hearts melt. This is the group of folks, the Israelite people. Our brothers have made our hearts melt, saying the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. And besides, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Same things that the 10 spies said. Big cities, big mean people, and giants to boot. A lot of scary stuff's going on. But, I mean, when I look back on it, I was like, that's not really any scarier than being facing the Red Sea. And then the whole Egyptian, the best of the Egyptian army and cavalry is coming to crush you, to destroy you. And God, it's not like the Israelites turned around and fought them off or anything like that, but God does this amazing thing and parts the Red Sea. I mean, oh my goodness gracious, man. If you saw that with your own eyes, that should kind of mean something to you. You know what I mean? The Red Sea parted. We walk across it when the last one of us got to the other side and the last Egyptian soldier got in the Red Sea. God closed it up on top of him. I think he can handle some giants, man. I think he can. But I mean, truth be told, man, I look back on my life and I see God's done miracle after miracle after miracle. Well, I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I got these kids. I'm going to do it. God has always made a way. He didn't always do it when I said jump. He didn't always do it the way I expected him to do it, but he has always been faithful to me. So here we are looking at this situation, whatever it might be. Gil, God's got this, man. He's got this. The difference is sometimes we miss out on the big time blessing that God has for us because we're too fearful. We're too fearful to trust in our God who has done these amazing things in our life. Fear is contagious. Fear distorts your vision of the truth. Fear distorts your vision of God's love. Numbers 14 and verse 3. Why is the Lord bringing us? This is the group of folks now, you know, they've done caught the fear bug. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become prey, will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? So fear distorts what is true. If we give in to fear, man, this is when we start making like really, really bad decisions, man. This is when we start doing things by our own power and not trusting in God who has already been so faithful and amazing to us. Look at Abraham and Sarah, you know, just a little example how they decided to help God out. You know, when God had promised them that precious son and through that son would become the Israelite people and the beginning of this amazing promise, but they kind of, so to speak, got tired of waiting on God, got a little fearful. Maybe God meant for you, Abraham, to sleep with my servant girl. And that way, because she's my property, that'll be the child of promise. And so we don't want to make stupid decisions and mess things up, man. You know, we want to trust in the Lord and wait on the Lord and be obedient to his good book. Does that make sense? Be obedient to what the good book says. Let God be true and every man lies. So when your mind starts telling you all these crazy things that don't line up with the word, then we got to rebuke that nonsense. Amen. Can I get a witness? Numbers 14, verse 3. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Like, why? Why do you even think that? Why would you even think that God, who done all these amazing things, who told you how much he loves you and has been there for you, brought you out here just to slaughter you? See, fear distorts our perception. Fear distorts the reality of God's goodness in our life. That's why we can't entertain that nonsense. Can I get a witness? Let's go to the next slide. So like I've been saying the last 2 weeks, you know, fear really can keep us from getting what God has for us. You know, fear can really hold us back from getting what God has already set aside for us from before the foundations of the earth. God has said, I want to use this church to do this. I want to use this group of people to do this. And so we don't want to miss out the provision that God has for us. We don't want to miss out on the blessings that God has for us. And we don't want to not accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. Can I get a witness? So Numbers 14, 22 and 23, right here, these two verses. Fear keeps you from getting God's best. Check this out. None of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt, and man, didn't they? I mean, we've already talked about that a bunch this morning, and we talked about it last week, but it's so mind-blowing, the amazing miracles that our God did, you know, right before their eyes. Death angel sweeping through, and if you didn't have the blood of the lamb, that's a sermon itself, but if you didn't have the blood of the lamb over your doorpost, well, the death angel was going to visit you and take your firstborn. They saw all the firstborn males of Egypt die in one night. There's a God in Israel, man. There's something going on there with these Israelites and the God that they serve. And that's just one of the things. All these countless miracles. God says, on your way out of town, go stop at your old boss's house and tell him, see you later. And and all the Egyptians blessed them, man. He just showered them with all kinds of amazing things. 400 years of payback, just amazing. None of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice. What do you mean don't obey his voice? It's like, there's the land. There it is. That's what's been set aside for you guys. Not obeyed my voice shall see the land. They don't get to see the land. They don't get to go into the land because they didn't trust in God. Fear was bigger than their trust in God. Shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers, and none of those who despise me shall see it. That's a whole group of people. Tons of people do not get to go into the promised land. Out of these millions of people, two guys of the original group get to go into the promised land. Now these their children, the children of these people, where they were saying that God brought us out here to slaughter our children by the sword and all that. No, no. Matter of fact, those children, they're going to go into the promised land, but you don't get to go into the promised land because you let fear and worry and doubt of God's goodness and his ability grab a hold of you. So God said, no, I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to keep my word of Joshua and Caleb. Those guys are going in and your kids are going in. Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord some praise. Let's go to the next slide. Because we really do, man, we can miss out on what God has for us. Yeah. Okay. So what do we do, man? And this stuff is so simple and so practical. But this is what we have to do. And this is what I've had to do in my own life, man. With the problems that I go through. Because no one had to teach me, no one had to school me on how to be fearful. Nobody had to school me on how to complain or gripe or mumble or talk bad about people. Or I learned all that. That just came down my bloodline, man. That was just easy stuff for me to complain and gripe and say, you got it better than me and all that stuff and everything. But what we got to do is we got to go back and look how God has been faithful to us. You know, how God has been faithful to us. So I've been a Christian for 2 weeks now, and I don't have any stories about how God's been faithful to me. Yeah, you do. You just haven't realized them yet when you're out there in the world. You know, but look back there, you know. Okay, and if he's like, nothing comes to mind. Look, you got a whole book of them right here. Okay, and this is where you start, right here. You see where God has been faithful to countless other people who were knuckleheads just like me and you. You know what I mean? You know, and God was faithful to them. You know, God was completely faithful to them. God was committed to them, like Jonah, who was rebellious. The dude loved the Lord, but he was rebellious. Like, I ain't going to Nineveh. I don't like those people. I hate those people. I'm not going to. I'm out of here. Yeah. Well, what happened? Well, God had to teach him a lesson. He ends up in the belly of a big old fish, but God was still faithful to him. God was still committed to him, and God got him through it, and he learned the lesson, and he was able to go and do what God had called him to do. You look at Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel didn't do nothing at all. There's no record of all of any sin that Daniel ever committed. We know he wasn't perfect. I'm not saying that. But the dude didn't do anything wrong to end up in the lions. Then he was just serving his God. And when they said, you can't pray no more, he's like, I'm praying. I'm praying. I'm not here to please men. I'm here to please the Most High God. And he said, I'm praying. He didn't do anything wrong. Boom, he ends up in the lion's den. God was with him. God got him through that. See, God is committed to his people. Even when we go through hard times, even when we're dealing with the consequences of our stupid actions, man, God is still faithful to us. You know what I mean? Okay. Deuteronomy 1, 29 and 33. Deuteronomy 1, 29 through 33. Let's look a little bit about God's faithfulness. We have this neat little record here. Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The guys over there dwelling in the promised land. Don't worry about those dudes. They're giants. Yeah, they're nothing compared to me. You can't handle them on your own. You can't handle them on your own. But I can do all things through Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I can do this because my God said you can do this, and he's going to equip you. He's going to go before you. Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you. That's my favorite part, really. That's my favorite part. You know, the Lord's my shepherd. Shepherd leads. We all love those leaders that lead by the front. You know what I mean? They're not going to ask just to do something that they haven't already done or willing to do themselves. And here's God saying, I'm going before you. I'm going before you into this. So you're not going to go alone. I thought that was pretty cool. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you. Isn't that beautiful? God's saying, I'm going to fight for you. What did you do, Israelites? What did you do with the whole Red Sea situation? What did you do there? I told Moses to do something. Moses did it. And you guys reaped the reward, man. You guys got the Benny. You got the benefit of doing it. You didn't have to do nothing. Okay? Saying, just trust in me, man. Trust in me. Okay, and I'll get you through this. Okay. Your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt. See, we're looking back on God's faithfulness, and this is going to encourage me. It's so simple, man. But sometimes we're like, oh my gosh, goodness gracious. Have you seen the price of Taco Bell tacos? I can't find a decent deal. Have you tried to buy mayonnaise at Dollar General? They're always out now. What's going on? Eh. Just as he did for you in Egypt. God was faithful to you in Egypt before your eyes. Let me read this again. Just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. You guys saw it. Israelites, you saw it with your own eyes. You saw the crazy things that God did. Remember the frogs that were everywhere? Remember all that? When the Egyptians couldn't do anything, there was frogs everywhere. Remember the bugs? Remember all that? Remember the hailstones coming up? Just because you were over there in Goshen where everything was nice and tidy and you didn't have to deal with any of that stuff. You remember God doing that. You remember that. Okay. And in the wilderness, not just in Egypt, but in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son. See the intimacy right there? See the beautiful picture that God is trying to explain to these people? How God carried them. I carried you just like a father carries a son. How that dad isn't going to do anything to let that child be hurt. So as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place, he says, from all the way to the beginning till right here to the border of this promised land, you have a huge, huge resume of the amazing things that I've done for you. You know what I mean? So here you are facing something you never faced before, and you're falling to pieces? Okay. All the way that you went until you came to this place. Verse 32, yet in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents, in fire by night and in the cloud by day to show you by what way you should go. It reminds me of like, man, I tell you every single day when to stop and set up camp. I tell you how long to stay here and camp. You got a fire. You got a pillar of fire by night. Who else has got that going on? You got a fire by night, you know, to keep you warm and to give you light in the camp. You know, a cloud by day so the scorching desert sun doesn't melt your face open. Who else has got that going on? Well, we got a big God. And God is saying, look, man, I've been there for you. Now go take what I got for you. Okay, tell the truth, shame the devil. So we look back on God's goodness in the past, and we stand on God's promises. Yeah, like Deuteronomy 1:21. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Here it is. Look how pretty it is. Man, I can see the grapes from here. They look like basketballs. I'm not sure. Is that milk and honey? See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Oh, God said way, way back in the day, God told Father Abraham, the father of all these people, look around, Abraham. Look at all this land. Look as far as you can see. This is all yours. This is all going to be yours and your descendants. And now they're literally there. And this is the promise that God must have fulfilled in their life. And they're like, oh, man. See, we do things appropriately around here in the Israelite community. And so there's 10 people out of 12 who said we can't do it. And then there was only 2 that said we could. So we got to go with the majority over here, and we can't do it. And they forgot about God being the deciding factor and all that. I mean, that's what Joshua and Caleb, they saw the same things that the other 10 guys saw. They just weren't freaking out about it, you know? They weren't terrified of it. Like little David facing his personal giant in his life, he wasn't intimidated. This little kid was not intimidated by this giant because he knew God was faithful to him. He knew that God was he knew that victory was on the other side of that giant. And to get on the other side of that giant, he was going to have to cut his head off. So here we go. I don't know. There's a children's story in there somewhere. Okay. Let's get Victory Life Church, Rot family, all Rot, us as individuals. We want what God has for us. We want that. Let's be like Joshua. Let's be like Caleb. Numbers 14 and 9. Let's go to the next slide. Numbers 14 and 9. This is Caleb right here. Yeah, this is Caleb hushing the crowd, trying to stop the fear that's spreading like wildfire. He gets everybody quiet. And this is what he says, only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bed for us. Their protection is removed. Say, yeah, they're big, they're massive, and they're always, you heard the stories about them fighting against each other, and man, this giant, and that giant, and all that. It's like, man, their protection God has removed all that, okay? So all we got to do is be obedient to what God has told us to do. And we're going to take this land. It's like bread, babies. There's nothing to this. We just got to trust in God. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. The Lord is with us. That's the difference between the unbeliever and the believer, isn't it? We got God, man. We got the Most High God. Amen. And we want to be obedient to His word. We want to claim and receive the blessings that He has for us. Look at Numbers 14 and verse 30. Here we go. Not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, or whatever, and Joshua, the son of Nun. You two guys, you get to go because you trusted in me. Numbers 14, 24. It's a big difference between not trusting in God and trusting in God. That's some deep logic right there. Look at Numbers 14 and verse 24. This is God talking about old cool Caleb. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit. See, that's got to be us, man. We got to have that different spirit. You know, hey, man, I know my God can do this. I know that my God can handle this. I got a whole book of the amazing things that He's done. I can look back on my life and see all the amazing things He has done. I see what He's done in the life of other Christians, other believers. Okay, so I know I can take that mountain. I know that mountain's nothing to me with God. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, we got to be obedient to what God says. We're going to miss the blessing. You know, we're going to miss that blessing if we don't go out and do what God told us to do. And has followed me fully, I will bring into the land. I'm going to bring Caleb into the land into which he went. Okay, 12 cats went in there. Two of them came back with a good report. And he says, Caleb, Joshua, you got to see all that good stuff. You're going to go back in there. You're going to get all that good stuff. Okay, because you trusted in me, you obeyed me, you knew that I was a lion, you knew that I didn't bring you out here for some crazy trap. You knew that you believed my word, you believed my promise, and so you're going to be blessed. Okay, all God's people, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Now, so here's a little food for thought for us in closing. Say, what is this got to do with me? What's this got to do with what I'm going through? Well, you guys aren't dummies. You get what we're talking about here, right? These dudes trusted in God, big time blessing. They got to accomplish and receive what God had for them. This other group didn't trust in God. They didn't get the blessing. Their fear weighed heavier than their trust in God. Okay, now for us, Isaiah 26 and verse 3, you keep him in perfect peace. Do you want peace? Isaiah 26, verse 3. Life sometimes gets crazier. You just look at your life like, man, this is just wild. Craziness. Isaiah 20, you get your truck worked on. You're getting your truck worked on because it ain't running right. And you get it into the shop and you borrow a friend of yours truck. You borrow a friend of yours truck and you're driving. You're just doing the thing. You're taking your kid home from dance. You drive right through a green light, and it was a green light, by the way. Drive through that green light, and somebody plows into you, and you and your friend's truck, and get turned completely around. You're facing the other direction, and your little kid's crying, and you can't find your glasses, and your sparkling water went everywhere, and you can't find your phone. And well, crazy things happen. Look at Isaiah 26 in verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You want peace? I want peace, man. We got to keep our focus on God, man. Not on the wind and the waves, not on all the lies that are being thrown at you. Let God be true and every man a liar. We put our trust in God and let's receive what God has for us in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless these folks, Lord. Let us be obedient to your word. Let us not be lazy, but let us wait on you. Let us do what you've called us to do. Let us accomplish what you have for us in this church, in our homes, and in our nation, and in our lives, Lord God. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So a couple things coming down the VLC pipeline here.